always ask me that. I should have asked you. I'm falling
down. No, it's good. No, man, it's good.
Let's pray. Oh, God, our Father, I do personally come before you. First of all, again, thank you so much for the privilege to serve with my brother here, who loves your church, loves your word. God, I thank you for the gifting that is so evident in my brother. And Lord, I know that the rest of this room joins with me. Those on Zoom or YouTube, join with me, Lord, in lifting him up as well in this moment in thankfulness. God, we thank you for him. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless him in this moment. I know as a preacher myself, praying for the blessedness of clarity of thought, of a fire of conviction for the truth of your word, a conviction to tell it forth for all, including the teller, to hear and to respond to. God, I ask on behalf of us listening that you would stir in our hearts a submission to the authority of your word that will be preached. Lord, a desire to be moved by it. I'm asking, dear God, that your Holy Spirit works among all hearers this morning, that we do not walk out of this room, walk away from this message, the exposition of your word this morning, unchanged. God, I'm asking that you bless us with this. Lord, your church cannot afford in this time to be unmoved by the truth of your word. Our society cannot afford in this time for your church to be unmoved by your word. So we ask, dear God, that you bless us through the powerful working of your Holy Spirit, speaking through Nathan this morning to us, us listening, us obeying. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Just, if I could just be prayed for, isn't it just amazing? Just let somebody pray for you. I'm glad to be here for many different reasons, and I almost want to ask you if you've ever had a week where you think that you can't add one more thing in it. That's how our week started in my home. Matter of fact, last weekend, we planned out a week and said, if we're going to get everything done for this week, we're going to have to call in some backup. So I called my parents in. They helped us out with one week, or one in the night of the week. And so as we moved all the way through about Wednesday, things were tracking pretty good for the weekend. And we were doing well until I got a text message that my niece was going to be proposed to last night, and that was going to take a very large chunk of my Saturday of where I was counting on. But I said, praise God, what a great event that I get to be a part of. And so in that we said, hey, we're going to squeeze one more thing in. You ever think you just can't squeeze one more thing in? Well, God decided to squeeze one more thing in my already busy schedule, and I got in an accident on the way down there. I'm okay. You can look at the dent afterwards on my truck. But I did. I just was like, yeah, I didn't think I had time for this. But I did. I don't know if you run that way sometimes. And if I don't know if you run also the way that you're always trying to control every moment. And you're always like, dude, I'm just so scared. I can't fit anything else in. And so you try to keep things out of your life. That's a futile attempt as well. I'm not calling us to live as if time and stewardship of time doesn't matter, but it is amazing what can be added in to a week. I want to share with you one of my highlights of the week, though there is many, but one was just our testimony night. It was an opportunity just to be able to praise God for what he's done, and in that, you get to see almost a snapshot of just ministry of Christ here. It just really is a small snapshot. That's all it is. And we have an opportunity to see it, to listen from other people, and really look for what is God doing, and then saying, listen, let's look forward and see where God is, where we're asking Him to move in our church. And so I've always enjoyed that night. And what I'm looking for is this. Is this Chetford's church functioning biblically? You can find out a lot by what if you'll just listen sometimes. And I know I do a lot of talking. You find out a lot when you listen. And just to discern what is being said. And in that, there's only, I know as being a minister, there's only one really way to measure whether the church is functioning biblically. It's got to be His word, right? There has to be some means in which we look at, when we look into our own ministry and see, where does God's word speak of the ministry of Christ in such a way that we can look into the ministry in which He has here and say, is it lining up? Are we an example of what His word represents? I want you to know that God is very, very concerned that we get this right. He really is. He wants us to get this right. So much that He wants us to get it right. Understand this. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to walk on the earth as a man to teach us what ministry looks like. And so that we would know that He was the Savior of the whole world. But He came and He discipled. He discipled men in the context of being a man. And He's done that from the very beginning of time. He's always given us a context of what ministry looks like. And so I'm just thankful to be able to look to His word and see the ministry again, Christ through people. And He is the center of attention. But it's nice to be able to look through the pages of Scripture and have just to see how He worked within real people's lives. And we get to know a guy like Joseph. We feel like we know Joseph because we know so many, because Scripture gives us so many details about his life. And then there's a sense in which we feel like we know Peter. We get to almost know his mannerisms, right, of what we think he might say in certain circumstances. Or we get to see Stephen. We get to see how Stephen stood up and how God worked in Stephen's life all the way until he took his last breath. We get to see Timothy following after Paul in the ministry and being sent out. So many contexts about so many different spots of where circumstances are able to see the ministry of Christ in those circumstances. As an under-shepherd of Jesus Christ, I just want you to know something. Our church has to be continuing to look to the ministry of Christ. It cannot be the ministry of us. It cannot be the ministry of good feelings. It cannot be the ministry of even hugs. It must be the ministry of Christ so He receives the glory. And because of that, I want you to know, is why I'm excited to be able to be in Acts chapter 19 with you this morning. We're going to see a snapshot of ministry this morning. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 19. And what we're going to see this morning is a snapshot of the ministry of Christ at Ephesus. And I say it's a snapshot because this is almost a summary, I would say, about the effects of ministry there. There's some other spots in which we're going to be covering in Acts, but you can also read the book of Ephesians, and you can see more details. But this morning, we get to see some key components of ministry that is done there. It's not all the components, but it's some of them. And so I just want you to read along with me and looking into what the ministry looked like there. Ephesians 19 and verse 8 says this. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. This, he says, it's so we're talking about a ministry of over 2 years. And he tells us what the result is. And I want to start, a lot of times I want to build up to where we're headed and really what I want you to close out thinking about, but I want to give it to you right up front. And so you don't miss what Jeff just prayed about us not leaving here today unchanged without the Word of God affecting our souls. So I want to give you where we're headed. All heard the Word of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing to me that the result of this in this area and in this time, that the result after that is that's the statement. That's the clarification of the ministry. They spoke the word. I want you to catch on this morning that that's the ministry of Christ that he's given to his church. To speak his word. And so we're just going to break down the text and we're going to go through a couple of main points just to walk you through so you can see this is exactly what's going on within our text and we can close out with what are we going to do. We can see within our text and very early in verse 8 it says he went into the synagogue, which is thankful if you know that wasn't very long ago in which he was saying he was not going to speak in the synagogue, and we see him going back already. God sent him right back to the Jews and he's speaking, and what it says is that he spoke boldly. You know what it takes to speak boldly on an issue? You ever meet somebody that can speak boldly about something? They usually know what they're talking about. If not, you know what happens? You dismiss them pretty quickly. If they're just speaking, you're like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. I get around construction. A lot of times, I get around construction guys. Everybody loves to talk about if you like construction. Sometimes I just reserve myself and just like, let's just not go into details here. Because I just live, you know, I'm just around it all the time. And so it gives me the ability to be able to, whenever I need to be able to speak up. The message of Christ to the Ephesians, the message of Christ to the Ephesians was spoken to them with boldness. I want you to understand why. I want to glance at some other scripture and just get you to see that this is the overarching ministry of Christ. This is the way in which the ministry of Christ functions in the church, is that it must be spoken. And so what I want to do is I want to read some other verses to you, and I just want these verses to come out of your mind, and I want you to start doing this. It's chapter 6 and verse 19 says this. And also for me, listen to what he says, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Paul's prayer ahead of time was not, God, help me to learn how to live rightly before them. Christ, give me the words. Give my mouth the ability to proclaim boldly before people. Give it to my mouth to proclaim the mystery. This doesn't come from somebody who just says, it's no big deal, right? Hey, I got this. I've been there. Been beat up 20 million times to doing the same message over and over again. I got this message down every time. It's packed. I go in, I speak the same thing, they slap me around a little bit, and I leave. That's not what we see of Paul. We see Paul being ultimately dependent upon his Savior, Jesus Christ, being sent forth with the message. And in that, he prayed, give me boldness. Another spot in Colossians 4 and verse 2 says this, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word. Listen to this. To declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. I ought to speak these things. He understood that There was an expectation on his life to get the words of Christ out beyond him. It was proper for him. Colossians 4 says this, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer each person." Scripture gives us even how we speak with people. You see somebody that just seems to be totally down in the whole world, and they're just, it is grace seasoned with salt. The message is effectual. It's gracious to people. In Matthew 24:14, you see, I'm just listen to these. "And the gospel of the kingdom will be," listen to this, "the gospel of the kingdom will be," here's a real important word, "proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." What does that tell you of where we're at in time? What does it tell us? The end has not come unless we all missed it and we're in trouble. The end has not come. We are in the process of proclaiming the gospel throughout the whole world. The gospel has not been proclaimed to all the positions and all the people in which it has been intended to be proclaimed to yet. There is a fulfillment of the proclamation of the word that has not come. It is not that Christ is just waiting and it's just an indefinite period of time and he's just going to say, "Hey, look, I'm just waiting until there's enough things going on in this world." There is a fulfillment of the gospel message being proclaimed. And when that is done, when the last proclamation is made that will be made on this earth, God will return. Until then, he's not coming back. It's what we see in Acts. We see a period of time in which the church is absolutely exploding. I love it. It's awesome to be able to see how the ministry of Christ, I mean, saving thousands, right? We rejoice over three, like it's Super Bowl Sunday. They've got thousands coming during this time. And God intended for that to happen. He's not done proclaiming the message yet. So he said to them, Mark 16 says, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." We've been called to speak. We've been called to speak boldly. That's the ministry. Speak boldly. It is what Paul was involved in doing. If we look into our church and we look into the ministry of the Shepherd's Church, we want to see boldness in declaring the Word of God like no other. I mean that. Like no other message out there has the amount of boldness that the Word of God has. That we can stand on the Word and know with great confidence it is the message of God to this world. And in doing that, we'll see within our text is that another key indication is that in speaking it, that there's a part of it that it should be reasoning and persuading. Sometimes we look to our persuasion to be just the way we make people feel. I persuade them with my niceness. And I'm that guy. I like people. And I honestly really don't want people not to like me. I mean, that's just me. It's just part of me, I understand that. But people liking us is not the persuasion that the Word of God speaks of. The message itself must be compelling. not only to speak boldly, the message must be compelling. And it must contain within it a persuasion to look into whether it is true or not by the one listening, and for them to evaluate where they stand based upon the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 just says this, so related to this reasoning, as he said, he reasoned with them in persuading, let me just say this, as Paul says, he reasons in persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. And then later, even when he pulls the disciples unto himself in the school of Tyrannus, what does he do? He says he's reasoning with them. He's discipling them. Which we see in other parts of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against. Listen to this. This is why it's got to be persuading. Arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. The reason it has to be persuasive because there's another message trying to persuade that is above the knowledge of God. It is saying it is better than his knowledge. So we don't just say, oh, have you ever considered trusting Christ in your life? Need to give them the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. We have been given the message that is persuasive. Another one in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. This one I love because if you're wondering if the message has the ability to persuade, listen to the power of the word that nothing else has this, okay? Nothing else has the power to persuade like the word, because it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You ever wonder what people are thinking? You hear a little bit, and you're like, I don't know what they are thinking when they said this. I'm just watching, and I don't know. And then you say, look, I want to help them. I want to help them because I see that the path they're going down is going this bad direction. There is nothing stronger that you can give them than a sword that says it cuts all the way down to their thoughts and their intentions. It gets right down to the soul. I pray for discernment. I do. I pray for discernment to be able to see what is going on in my own life, first of all. Nathan's got to know where he's missing the mark, first of all. And I pray for discernment in other areas, but I just want you to know that it is the word that has the power. The spoken word that has the power to get right in there and deal with the issue of the heart. It is, we're told it is the word that discerns the thoughts and intentions. Don't think there's something else that's better, right? Don't bring something that's less powerful than the sword. We don't want to do that. Get the sword out. We're going to talk in closing about what it means to use Scripture as a sword. And that's where I want you to be thinking about as well, because that's what it says. So it has the power to persuade the soul. When you think, I'm going to really try to convince them. I'm really going to show them all different ways to convince them that God is real and all these other things. Well, we don't speak about the word. We don't give them the actual words of God. Guys, it's helpful to some degree. To some degree. It definitely is. It's not as if it's an unholy conversation. I can turn to other spots in Scripture that talks about speaking of the things of God. man, let's get the word out. Luke 14:23, and the master said to the servant, go to the highways and hedges, and listen to this, compel people to come in that my house may be filled. Go get them. The analogy of Christ trying to teach them in this parable was, listen, they didn't want to come. Go get others and fill my house. Paul is in the middle of Ephesus, and he is persuading them. He's gone to the synagogue, and he's compelling them to come into the house of God. They're in the synagogue, and they think they're in the house. And you know what he's telling them? You're not there. Christ was the Savior, and you need Him. And He needs to be the center of attention here. And so He's compelling them to come in, to see Christ, to accept Christ. It must be a compelling, come into the house. It must be an invitation from us. This is where if you want to say, hey, listen, what do we do to tell people to come in? Well, do things that compels them. Understand you're going to them. That Christ wants more at the table. He wants them sitting there. Right? We want to invite them in. Which ways can we do that? Can you invite them on Sunday? Yeah, listen, if you're worried or you haven't spoken enough boldness to them, tell them, invite them to come in and listen to the preaching of the word. Don't be sheepish about that. Put them before the word over and over again. Send them some videos of something about somebody who could preach or has a topic. Put them before the word, before the teaching as much as you can. Compel them by all means to come in. And they say, well, I see some of that, but I don't know if I want to be there. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to be in church or something else. Well, what is the issue? Let's eliminate the barriers. Because I want you at the table. Because Christ wants you to understand who He is in relationship to your life. So the master told the servant to go. Another one. Compelling. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit, this is in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7, says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you hear His voice, listen to this, do not harden your hearts as though, as in the rebellion, the day of testing in the wilderness. You know what the compelling is to people? I just want you to, again, hear these scriptures that if we're going to compel them, it's not an indefinite compelling of like, you know, hey, listen, you got, you know, come and, if you'll just come in and listen for a little while, maybe one thing will make sense, and then maybe down the road another thing will make sense, and hopefully we will make enough deposits in your life. Now, as soon as you speak the word to them, compel them to make action. Don't harden your heart. Any word that they've received, any word they've received from God requires a response. Every word, understand this, when the word is taken to, when Paul took the words before them, he was anticipating that there would be a response back to the word. We're going to see that in just a second. There was an anticipation of a response. And in that, when you see the response of rejection is, or as a response of giving is, don't harden your hearts. Hey, it's been done before. Don't go down that road. So it's anticipation that in speaking, that there also is a calling, compelling of, that they don't have the ability to put it off. Understand that. And that's kind of the weight of it, isn't it? When you put the word of God on somebody, it's like laying something on their shoulders and saying, now, deal with this word in your life. And I want to help you, and I want to help you to see this, but this is what you have. This is what the word says. Now, what's the response going to be? Think about that. They are in the position to respond. If it was done in prayer, I believe that as we walked away, if it wasn't a turning, there would be a burden in the heart because they received and they didn't act. There'd be a burden on the heart of God, please do a work here. Because this is not going to end well. we see in our text, it says, so as they were persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. Is that as Paul went to them, there was a response, wasn't there? They and it says for months. It's awesome that he had 3 months there. Other spots he's kicked out immediately. But he's reasoning with them, and he's reasoning them. For 3 months they're hearing the word. And at some point they say no. Okay, now we've heard enough. Now we're going to speak evil back towards the word. There's only a couple different responses, and it may not be verbally, but I'm telling you, it's either acceptance or it's a bitter hatred. There's no neutral ground with God. There's no neutral ground with his word. There's no neutrality to it. They spoke evil of the way. It's tough. Some of you can think about the way you've responded to the word. Some of you have had the word come to you, and even as a believer, that you've said, you know what? I know what it says. But I'm not doing that. Or I can't do that. I don't want to do that. For some reason, there's a darkness in the flesh that says, that's right. Nah, I don't want that. So that evilness that is in an unbeliever is unresting. It never stops. Never goes away. It's there. It's always there. Whether they know it or not, there's no relief. There's no relief. And we know why. We know why it's there. Paul wasn't caught off guard when they spoke evil of the way. It says in 1 Corinthians, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It's folly to them. But as believers, for the unbelievers that spoke evil of the way, it's anticipated. It's anticipated. The clearer the message is, the clearer the evilness will be. And we're seeing some of that. And we will probably see more of it. We will see the evil come out against the word. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Brothers and sisters, you may struggle with obeying. You may struggle when the word comes to you, and you may pushing against it. It is the power of God to you towards salvation. And if it is not, then something is wrong within the soul. But the power, when the word comes to you, it comes with a conviction that turns you back to him. It's what it does. It's a calling out from God. So some are going to speak evil. He withdrew the disciples because they were responding correctly, and they were responding. They needed to hear the word more. They needed to be discipled more. Some will follow him. John tells us, is that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. When the word comes to you, it comes, and yes, it chastens you, and you need to turn back to God. But that's what it does to you. It turns you back towards him. And the reason you're turning, the reason that the gospel continues to go, and the reason the gospel continues to spread is because we have a shepherd that says that he has sheep. And no one gets to take them. No one gets to take them. No one's taking the sheep. And so the reason the message continues In a world where there's agonistic, is that a new word I just created? As there is an opponent out there in the world, the reason the gospel continues is because Christ is not taking his hand off his sheep. And I'm sorry that some of you are the wayward, and I'm sorry that some of you get out towards the fence and he's get you right back over towards him. I say I'm sorry, but I'm actually thankful for his ministry. I'm thankful for his ministry. Because out of that, because that's happening, what we see in our text is when they spoke evil, which is all through Acts, you're going to see him proclaiming what is true, an opposition of speaking of evil, and the gospel keep going. It's all through Acts. It's not just all through Acts, it's all through time. It's consistent with God has created us in such a way that he says, hey, listen, throughout time, if you'll look, this is another proof towards his faithfulness to himself, is that he teaches us through history, and we see this happen over and over again. So that when it happens to us, when we are in the period of time when the gospel is not done being proclaimed, when we speak, we're going to receive the same thing. We know it. It doesn't catch us off guard. It's exactly what Paul received. And so he reasoned with them. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. What a ministry. When Christ is in the ministry, the word is going forth. I want to give you some thoughts in closing. In conclusion to the ministry of the word of the Shepherd's Church, I want to invite you, in a sense, invite you, encourage you, may not have the right words to say here. I want you to join in the ministry of the word. That's what I want you to do. I want in your mind that when you look at a snapshot of through Scripture and you see what does ministry look like, what does it look like? That you see that ministry looks like the word. The proclamation of the word. That's what I want you to be able to see. And then I want you to look into your life and understanding that this is, that if we truly have been redeemed by Christ for his purposes, if we truly are living sacrifices for him, what is our ministry going to look like? It will be the ministry of the word. I want to ask you, how often are we using the word? How often? Think about in whatever areas of your life you want to think about in the ministry of Christ around you, how often are we using the words? And if you're like me, this is convicting to me. Convicting, and then also at times it's like I get slapped around like, well, yeah, that's should be obvious. Duh, that certainly seems to be a better means of getting the ministry out, is to speak the word. Do you see something in your family that you want to look more like Christ? When was the last time you shared the scripture that deals with the issue? When was the last time you humbly went before your family and said, let's just read this? I'm concerned because I see this, but this is the word of God. And I want to honor this. It was the last time that, and you're like, listen, God has called me to share the gospel with somebody and you're wanting to speak with somebody. How many times in those conversations is it that you're saying, this is His words? I get 100% sharing a testimony with people about what God's done in your life. I really do. But testimony really is not about us. It's about Him. It's impossible to do without sharing His word. It is impossible to do without His word. Impossible. We can talk about Him. But the gospel is His words. In your work setting, in your business, wherever, just how many areas is the word being shared? I know some of you may, for some people, it is a little bit intimidating, especially for a new believer. Especially for some of those new believers, are like, man, I don't know where to turn, you know? I mean, I got all kinds of issues come up all the time, but I don't know where to turn. There's a couple different, there's an approach to a new believer. A new believer's going to say this, I don't know where to turn, but I need some help. Hey, can you help me? Can you, the Bible seems like a big book. I don't know how it deals with this. And I know that the Bible's supposed to deal with all situations in life, but I bet you ain't never heard this one, all right? Well, let's go to Scripture. They need help with that. A lot of times they do. I'm going to say every new believer has a huge craving for the Word. And I'm going to say that sometimes as believers, after a certain period of time when they start to get to know the Word, there is a challenge in their life whether they're still going to live by it or not. Start living by biblical principles. I know what God wants me to do. Well, how often are we going back to the actual word that says it and then praying over it in our life? How often are we students of the word? In some way, it becomes difficult, right, to be able to find. Well, thankfully, I want you to know something. And I hope you know this. Jeff and I are here to equip you for that. We're called by God to equip you for that. It means we're called by God to love the Word and be able to study it. I thank you for being with a man that raises the bar way above where I'm at. I love that if there's a spot I need to go to, I'm telling you, Jeff can get me there quickly. I love about the ministry of the Word in his life. You are part of the ministry here and the resource is the Word of God, and we are called to equip you with it. And so we want you to know that. So I want to give you a challenge. In closing out, for what Jeff had prayed for, is that we don't leave here without response. In the windowsills is some cards. Nothing significant about the card. It's just a card. But I'm going to ask you today, you don't have to. There's nothing. I don't like it when people spiritually tell me how to do things sometimes. It's like, hey, you have to do this or that. It's just a suggestion, okay? The bottom line is, the question is, are we sharing the word? That's the question. Whatever means you see, or your conviction of whether you're doing it or not, whatever means you use between you and God is it's between you and God. One means is if you would like to take a card, is what I would encourage you to do is to write, to take that card and keep it with you. And then write on that card a person's name and the exact scripture in which you shared with them. Keep the card with you. Pray through the card. Understand that it's not that you're going to come back here and we're going to post it up on the screens for you so you can say, look, my card is full. That's not what we're going to do with the card. What is the testimony of our church? Is the word going out? And then pray through it. When that word goes over somebody, come back to that card and say, listen, this is the exact words I shared with them. Pray for it. If you want to, bring it into the growth group and say, listen, guys, I'm just telling you, I just had the opportunity to share this word with somebody. And it's weighty. And I want you to pray with this. For the ministry of the word to go out. For the effectiveness of it. I'm praying for it. And you know what? You get to be able to sit back and watch. If there's an answer by God to His Word, then where are we going to be drawn towards when the answer comes? Just praise Him, right? Just think about it. You shared the word with Christ. It does work by what you think you couldn't do. And Christ does a work in their life. And then you can think, thank the Lord. This was actually easier. I've been trying all this time to convince them, but I never shared the word with them. Use the word. And dude, let's do this over and over again. Next testimony night, let's share what word, let's see where God, let's praise Him for the word going out. That's why you come here on a Sunday, is to hear the preaching of the word. We preach the word because we know this. If it's going to be the ministry of Christ, His word's going out through you. Keep that in mind. I'm looking at a pretty decent sized group of people. Every single one of you. If I could take you, and I always wish these screens could do something else, if I took each one of you and I took your life and all of a sudden it could show you on the screen and it took all these little bubbles around it and things going on in your life. Phew. You're like, oh yeah, that's me. Ooh. Okay. I won't show that one, but that one, yes, that's going on in my life, the things around you, right? If I could do that on those screens, well, that would be cool. But if I could take the word then in those areas of your life, down next to you, and that bubble would be the exact scripture that deals with that. The word, the word, the word. That's what I see in the ministry of Christ. That's where I see we're headed in this church. That's where we're headed. We talked about it on testimony night. That's where we're headed. The testimony was that the word's got to be foundational. And we see it. We see so many teachers here that are sharing the word, that are good, that are great teachers. As a church, set your eyes beyond all of Asia. Is it possible all of Crestview? I don't know. Crestview's kind of a big city. What? What? How are we going to get the word out there? How are we going to do that? I'm thinking that God can work through your life and that you will have some things as a believer that will come back to us and say, you know what? I know of another area. I know of another area. Maybe there's a few more Bibles we need by the front door to hand out. Maybe there's some things we need to do. Let us pray. Father, what a good day to be in your word. I thank you, your word is consistent. You're faithful to your word. When you spoke your word, and then it set forth a direction into this world. Your spoken word speaks to this world. And I thank you that you have delivered us by your word. And now you've put us in the ministry of reconciliation to go and declare your word to others so they can be reconciled unto you. Father, we are asking and we are praying that whatever means you use, that's consistent with your word, for our people to understand as a group, we're going to speak your word. And I pray you do that work. Not for our sake, but because we want your glory to be seen and we want the end to come. We actually want the end to come. We want to be in your presence. We want your gospel to be proclaimed wholly to everywhere. So send us in your name. Amen. Jeff, do you want to do the Lord's Supper today? Jeff's going to come forward and lead us in the Lord's Supper today.
Thank you, brother. We are at
thank you, Nathan. I can't help but think